2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'll pick up with me again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." This is one of those passages in Paul's epistles that have just a tremendous amount of information here, really focusing on the heart of his ministry. And we would say that this passage really gives us the Apostle Paul's commission, our commission for this dispensation of grace. And we call it, of course, here the ministry of reconciliation. And we want to talk this morning about that ministry, this that Paul calls here the ministry of reconciliation. This indeed is the ministry of the body of Christ given to us by the risen and ascended Christ, of course, through the Apostle Paul. This takes precedence over the so-called Great Commission, or the commission of Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and Acts 1. All those previous commissions, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, Acts 1, all of those pertain to the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ had committed to the 12 apostles. And this ministry here supersedes that. This ministry here, the ministry of reconciliation, is what the Lord Jesus Christ has given to the Apostle Paul for us in this dispensation of his grace. And he calls it here the ministry of reconciliation. It's important that we understand and appreciate what, first of all, the word reconciliation means, and then appreciate it in relationship to the context and what this ministry is all about. First of all, when you think about the word reconciliation, you can see the word reconcile in the word. Look again at verse 18, the last word, reconciliation. If you look at verse 19, the word reconciling. Verse 19, again, the last word, reconciliation. And then it says at verse 20, "Be ye reconciled to God." You can see how Paul uses that word several times throughout this context here. The word reconcile, it means like to reconnect or to bring back together parties that were at opposition. A lot of times you'll hear that term used with reference to marriages that are not doing so well. And they'll say, well, they reconciled. Or two parties that are fighting and they get back together, well, they were reconciled. Or family members that have broken up and they get back together, they were reconciled. So the word reconciled and reconciliation, the use of the word implies that indeed it demands that there was some kind of alienation that was in existence prior to the reconciliation. There was some kind of alienation that occurred, some kind of breakup, some kind of separation that occurred. And of course, with reference to the minister of reconciliation, the alienation that occurred between God and man was the fact that men in Adam sinned. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If you'll look over to the book of Ephesians, you can see the state of humanity. Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were," notice, "dead in trespasses and sins." That was and is the condition of all humanity, other than, of course, those who have trusted Christ. dead in trespasses and sins, verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. They're called, at verse 3, they're called children of wrath. Children of disobedience, children of wrath. Look over to chapter 4 in Ephesians. Look over to chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians. And start with me at verse 17. Look at some of the terminology here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Now here it is. Being alienated from the life of God. When you look at verses like these, you understand that all humanity was in a condition where they were alienated from the life of God. And they were that way because of their descendancy from Adam. They were born as children of wrath and children of disobedience. Well, that being the case, there obviously was this estranged relationship between God and men. There was this division between God and men. The ministry of reconciliation makes the claim that though man has and had sinned and was alienated from the life of God and was dead in trespasses and sins, that God Himself took the initiative to make a change in that relationship. That God Himself is the one that took the initiative to make a change in that relationship from Himself towards man. From Himself towards man. And that ministry of reconciliation is what Paul is speaking about there. When you can see over in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, set back to 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says this: all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit. Okay, now watch this. That verse 19 now, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. When the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, we now know, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that there was something going on there at the cross that was beyond what the prophets declared and disclosed. It was beyond Christ simply shedding His blood as a ransom for many, that is, for Israel. It was beyond Christ simply shedding His blood in anticipation of the fulfilling of the new covenant promise with Israel. We now know, by and through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself there as a ransom for all. It takes Paul's ministry to teach us that. If you'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 here. Hold on to 2 Corinthians. Look over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. At verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That was 1 Timothy 2:3. Verse 4 now. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom, notice, for all. A ransom for all. Not just a ransom for many. Not just a ransom for some, like prophecy declared, and like the Lord Jesus Christ said while He was here on the earth, speaking about Israel. But you can see that verse clearly says He gave Himself a ransom for all. By the way, aren't you glad for that part of the verse? Because that's how you know He gave Himself a ransom for you. If He gave Himself a ransom for all, that means He gave Himself a ransom for you. But if He only gave Himself a ransom for some, well, maybe you're in that some and maybe you're not. But at any rate, this passage says He gave Himself a ransom for all, and then it says, to be testified in due time. Paul was the due time testifier of some events that happened at the cross that had previously not been prophesied, disclosed, declared. He says at verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Paul was the due time testifier of the fact that Christ gave himself a ransom for all, and in giving himself a ransom for all, what was happening, one of the things that was happening from God's perspective, is God was reconciling the world unto himself. Look back at 2 Corinthians 5:19 now. Back to 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, notice, reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciling the world. Now remember, when you're talking about reconciliation, reconciliation involves two parties, the two parties that are at odds against each other. In this case, it was God and the world. The world had sinned. The world had rebelled. The world was in Adam. And what God does at the cross is the Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross for the sins of all humanity. He was made sin for us. And when he was made sin for us, that alienation, that separation between God and men, Christ acted as the mediator. And from God's perspective, the avenue and the way was now completely open. From God's perspective towards humanity, he says that he was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Reconciliation, it has been said, and this is true, reconciliation is a two-way street. You can have a dispute, an argument, a fight going on between two parties. But then if one of those parties decides, hey, you know what, I'm just not going to fight anymore. I'm just not going to be at odds anymore. I'm not going to be contentious anymore. I'm not going to be against that person anymore. I am completely for that person. Well, that's the one way, from the one individual towards the other. And from that one individual who says towards the other, I'm not at odds anymore, I'm completely at peace, I'm not against you anymore. Well, now, in order for the second member of this conflict to benefit from this reconciliation, they have to acknowledge that and say, yeah, same here. Well, from God's perspective, God says to and about humanity, he says, you know what? I was not imputing your sins to you. I imputed your sins to Christ at the cross there. So from God's perspective, he has put all the world in a position where they can be saved. One man says it, all the world has become savable as a result of this ministry of reconciliation. But again, reconciliation is a two-way street. From God's perspective, all the sin has been taken care of. There has been a provision made for all the sins of all humanity. Now understand, that does not mean, it is not saying the same thing as therefore all humanity is saved, because that is not at all the case. Each and every one of us has to respond to this offer of be ye reconciled. You can see that that's what the Apostle Paul goes on to say at verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God has reconciled the world to himself. That doesn't automatically make all the world saved. Rather, it puts all the world in a position where they are savable and can be saved if they will respond to the offer of, quote, be ye reconciled to God. Reconciliation is a two-way street. Look with me over to the book of Romans chapter 5. Look over to Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul will addresses this over here as well. Romans chapter number 5. Look at this. Romans chapter 5 verse 6. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 says this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Okay, question. Did Christ die for all humanity? Well, yeah, he tasted death for every man. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. When we were without, Christ died for everyone who is without strength. See that? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for anyone who was ungodly and was without strength. Everyone who was ungodly and without strength, Christ died for them. Okay? Christ didn't just die for those that would trust him. Christ died for everyone who was ungodly and was without strength. Look with me at verse 8 now. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't only die for the believer. Christ died for everyone who was a sinner. Now, granted, that death provides tremendous benefit and offers benefit to everyone, and those who believe that gain the benefit offered. But the fact is, Christ died for everyone who is a sinner, whether or not those sinners ever trust him. And then if you look at verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. See, verse 8, Christ dies for everyone, which is the proof of his love. Verse 9 is those who respond, much more than being now justified by his blood. There's the person who believes the offer. Okay? Now watch verse 10 very carefully. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Understand this. The enemies in verse 10, that's all humanity. That's everyone who was in Adam. Christ died for everyone who was in Adam. Okay? The enemies in that verse are not just those that come to trust Christ. It's everyone who was an enemy. For if when we were enemies, notice, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. There's the ministry of reconciliation. There's that one way. There's from God towards his enemies. God reconciled the world. The world was without strength. The world was sinners. The world were enemies. And God reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Instead, he imputed their trespasses to Christ, and Christ became sin for us. So there is, from God's perspective towards humanity's perspective, he says, you know what? I've reconciled you. I put you in a condition, in a status towards me, that all that the sin isn't the issue. It's not in the way, because the blood of Christ is the provision for that sin. It's there. It's the provision for that sin. That doesn't mean, again, that is not saying the same thing as saying that all humanity therefore is totally given. No, that's not true at all. See, reconciliation is different than forgiveness. Reconciliation is different than justification. Reconciliation is reconciliation. From God's perspective, God says to all humanity, he says, listen, when Christ was on the cross, I imputed your trespasses not to you, but to Christ. Therefore, your trespasses, there is a provision for your trespasses. So therefore, it's not your trespasses that stand in the way. I have reconciled you to myself, God says. The thing that stands in the way is, be ye reconciled to me. The thing that stands in the way of all humanity getting saved is their belief or unbelief of this offer. You can see at verse 10, you're in Romans 5:10, you'll see the two-way street here. It says, for if when we, that's all humanity, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. God reconciled His enemies right there. Well then, much more, being reconciled. There's the two-way street there. There's when we respond to the offer. We are being reconciled. We're now reconciled. Well then, guess what? We shall be saved by His life. Not every person in humanity is going to be saved by His life. Only those that respond to the call to be ye reconciled unto God. See that? So understand that reconciliation is a two-way street. Reconciliation is not the same thing as justification. It's not the same thing as forgiveness of sins. It's not the same thing as imputed righteousness. Reconciliation is reconciliation. And from, again, from God's perspective, when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross there, 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He took the trespasses of the world and imputed them unto Christ, and hence now has a provision to offer forgiveness of sins and therefore justification to anyone and to everyone, and it is given to them that believe. So once again, from God's perspective, reconciliation is done. It's the offer now, today. But from man's perspective, man has got to make a decision as to whether or not he's even interested in being reconciled to God, because reconciliation is a two-way street. Reconciliation first looks from God toward man, and God says, when I look towards man, I see the death of Christ. When I look towards humanity, I see the shed blood of Christ. When I look towards humanity, I see the provision of the blood of Christ. And now He says to humanity, be ye reconciled to God. So from man's perspective to God, they need to see, man needs to see the same thing. That is, they need to see the blood of Christ. They need to see the provision by that blood of Christ. And then when they believe that offer, that is when they receive forgiveness of sins, imputed righteousness, justification, and all that that means, all that comes along with that, being accepted in the blood, being complete in Christ, being baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and so many, many more wonderful things. You can see again, back at 2 Corinthians 5:19 now. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, here's the ministry of reconciliation, is to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, what is this word of reconciliation? It is, be ye reconciled to God. That's the offer. That's what God says to humanity. He says, be ye reconciled to God. He says, all the barriers of sin and sins, all those attitudes of pride and self-righteousness, all of those need not be in the way. From God's perspective, they're not in the way, because God sees the provision that the blood of Christ made to pay for those sins. And so God says, from His perspective, He says, guys, He says that to the world, He says, I've already reconciled you to myself. As far as I'm concerned, this thing's done. The resurrection proves it. But He says to humanity, He says, you know, you got to be reconciled to me. You need to respond to this offer. The only way you can respond to this offer is by grace and through faith. He says at verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." See that? God has reconciled the world to himself. From his perspective, it's done. Again, that does not mean that all humanity is already justified, already saved, already forgiven, but that God has already made provision whereby in his justice he can and is willing and is able to justify and will justify anybody that believes the gospel. But what God says to humanity through us, through the believers, through this ministry of reconciliation, he says, be ye reconciled to God. As far as God is concerned, there is nothing that stands in the way of that individual who was without strength, who was a sinner, who was an enemy. There is nothing that stands in the way of that person being reconciled to God other than simply believing the offer, responding to this offer. When that person responds to this offer, that split second in time, and it lasts for all eternity, that split second in time, the payment that the blood of Christ made is now applied to their account. But until that person believes the offer and is reconciled to God, until that point, well, the payment is there, the provision is there, it's sitting right there and it's available, but it's not applied to their account because they don't, as it were, take the medicine, so to speak. I've heard it put this way in illustration before. Let's say that all humanity has got this deadly disease, which they do, by the way. It's called sin and death. And let's say that the scientists and the medical staff were able to come up with a solution, a drug, a prescription to take care of that deadly disease that all humanity was infected with. Let's just say they could come up with something like that. And so what they do is that they publish it. They do it on the radio and on television and on the internet. And they say, we've discovered this solution, this drug or this medication that will solve and take care of that deadly disease. And it's available, and there's enough supply for everyone. It's available, and there's enough for everyone, and it works. Well, what would a person have to do in order to benefit from that new discovery, in order to benefit from that offer that's available to everyone? There's enough, and it works. That's right. The person would have to believe the claim. The person would have to believe the offer and then, of course, respond to that offer by taking the prescription. Well, God says the prescription for the deadly sin that has got all humanity is the blood of Christ. That prescription is there. The payment is made. The provision is there. It'd be like the doctor saying, hey, we've formulated enough of this medication for all of humanity, and the price has already been paid for. The price for this drug just doesn't cost you anything. You just got to go and pick it up and take it and so forth. Well, so too, God says that the price is already paid, the provision's already there. Just be ye reconciled to God. Believe the offer here. Now, for you and me as believers, well, Paul says we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. And this is our message to humanity. An ambassador, pardon me, an ambassador, when you think about ambassadorship, an ambassador is a representative, pardon me, an ambassador is a representative from one state or country or kingdom or empire to another state or country or empire or kingdom. But not just a representative of any stature. The ambassador is the highest representative of one country or state or kingdom or empire in that other country or state or kingdom or empire. He is the highest official representative of his own country. When the ambassador speaks, he speaks on behalf of and with the authority of the ruling dignitary in his own country, whether it's the president or the king or the prime minister, whatever it might be. Well, guess what? Our country is in heaven. Philippians says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ is the blessed and only potentate of our country, of our kingdom. We here on planet Earth are indeed in a foreign country. We're in a foreign land. This earth is not our home. This world is not our long home. It's not our kingdom. It's not our eternal place of blessing or ruling and reigning and so forth. Rather, we are in a foreign land as ambassadors. And we represent the King, the blessed and only potentate of our home. Heavenly places is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, we are ambassadors for Christ. And our message to humanity today is God's message to humanity. The message that we bring to humanity in this country is the message from the King in our country, our home country, from the message from the blessed and only potentate of our country. And you know what that message is? It is this: we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. That's our message. It's simple, it's sure, it's plain, it's legitimate, it works, it's honest, it's to the point. It is, you know what? Be ye reconciled to God. Just like Christ stood in our stead on the cross, so we too, by parallel, as believers, we stand in His stead today while in this present evil world. He stood in our stead while in this present evil world and was made sin for us. And now we stand in His stead, beseeching men and women, boys and girls, young and old, rich and poor, bond and free, male and female, any nationality, any race, any sex, any color, any creed, any status. We stand in the stead of Christ today, representing our blessed and only potentate, the King of our land, the ruler of our home, the heavenly places. And we say, be ye reconciled to God. And the basis upon which we can actually make that claim, and the offer that we can make, is verse 21. Here's the basis: for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a claim that we get to make to humanity. We get to make this claim that listen, frankly, if this did not come off the drawing board of heaven, then this would be an outlandish claim, okay? But we make the claim that God hath made God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God hath made Him to be sin. The actual thing itself. Jesus Christ became sin for you and for me, indeed for all humanity. For He, God, hath made Him to be sin for us. Romans tells us that God set Him forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. God set Him on that cross. God suspended Him between heaven and earth. God says, as it were, don't blame Israel, don't blame Pilate, don't blame the Gentiles, don't blame the Jews, don't blame the Roman soldiers. God says, you know what? I did it. I set Him forth to be a propitiation on that cross, to be a fully satisfying sacrifice. And the only way He could be a fully satisfying sacrifice is if He died as a sacrifice. And our sins were placed upon Him, and hence that's why He died as a sacrifice. And Paul says here, we say this on behalf of Christ, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ knew no personal sins of His own. He never sinned one time, even in thought, word, or deed. He was dying the just for the unjust. He was dying as the Lamb of God. He was dying as the sin bearer of all the world. He was dying as a ransom for all. He never sinned, not even one time, in thought, word, or deed. And yet, He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Now watch the great exchange that this offer proposes. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Don't leave out those last two words there. Some of the translations leave those last two words out. The righteousness of God in Him. That's the great exchange. That's the great offer here of this message of reconciliation. Jesus Christ took upon Himself our sin, our unrighteousness, and in exchange, the offer from God is, I would place you into Christ with His righteousness and His life. What an exchange that is. The great exchange is, He takes our sin, we get His life. He takes our unrighteousness, we get His righteousness. He takes the wrath of God, we get the justice of God, the life of Christ. He takes our death in Adam, we get His eternal life. What an exchange that is. Verse 21, For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When a person believes this claim, when a person responds to this offer of be ye reconciled, what happens is that split second in time, they are made the righteousness of God, but where? In Him, in Christ. And they're made that because they are placed into Christ. When you and I trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, we were placed into Christ, and hence we have the righteousness of God in Him. Look how the Apostle Paul says it over in 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Go over to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. And notice what it says here. It says, But of Him, the Him is God here. But of Him are ye in Christ. God has placed us in Christ by means of His Spirit, the Spirit baptism into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. And then he lists four things. First of all, wisdom. Christ is made unto us wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. Second thing, righteousness. Christ is made unto us righteousness. He is our righteousness. And then sanctification. Christ is our sanctification. And then Christ is our redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory where? In the Lord. Glory being in the fact that we are in the Lord. Christ is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification and our redemption. I was talking with some folks over at the conference this last weekend there in Arizona. And they're just tremendously excited about learning the things about our identity in Christ, the sufficiency of God's grace, the word rightly divided. And one of the questions that they had to do with this issue of imputed righteousness. And I was explaining, we were trying to clarify, that understand this, Christ being our righteousness and us being made the righteousness of God in Him, it's, understand this, that it's not that Christ is, say, over in one corner of the room and you and I are over in the other corner of the room, and that God takes the character and nature of the righteousness of Christ and takes a portion or a part of it from Christ and then gives it to you, and that you're like in separate corners, so to speak. That's not what this is about. That's not what goes on here. We are, the moment we trust Christ, we are taken out of Adam, out of that corner of the room, and we're placed into Christ. And now, Christ is our righteousness. We're not separate from Him. Never see yourself separate from Christ. See yourself in Christ, united with Him, in Him. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness of God in Him. Christ is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. We're not separate from Christ. We're not standing over here in one corner possessing the righteousness of Christ. Rather, we are in Christ, possessing the righteousness of Christ, because indeed Christ Himself is our righteousness. So never see yourself as though you are apart from Christ, as though you're separated from Him, because you're not. You're in Christ. You've been reconciled to God, and Christ has been made, you've been made the righteousness of God in Him. All right, folks, well, listen, we're out of time this morning, and we always like to at least leave a couple of minutes in case anybody has any questions or comments. And unfortunately, we're not able to take them live right now because the speakers are still not, obviously, on the system. They don't work. We're getting real close to picking up another computer and so forth. I think most of you know and heard we had to send the other one back. So with the holidays coming up, I know a lot of places are going to be doing specials on those laptop computers. So Dan and I have been talking about that. I think we're going to try to go over, check over at Best Buy and see about picking one up over there. So anyway, if you do have a question or comment at this point, what you need to do is type the question in and punch enter. It'll come up on the screen. I see that Carol has a question. So we'll give you a minute or so to type the question in. Okay, so the comment on the screen or question on the screen is this. If we are the ambassadors for Christ, and we go to someone that we have had a problem, and they do not accept the offer, is the offer completely gone away? I think I'm understanding. If I'm understanding what you're asking, the answer is no. The offer of reconciliation, see, that's what's confusing me about the question. If we are the ambassadors in Christ and we go to someone that we have had a problem with and they do not accept the offer. Let me back up. It seems to me that your question is confusing two completely different separate issues. The offer of be ye reconciled in verse 20 has nothing at all to do with you having a problem with someone else or them having a problem with you. It has nothing to do with that at all, period. Whether or not you have a problem with someone else or they have a problem with you, that is completely irrelevant and independent compared to or in relationship to these verses here. So let me try to answer the question two ways. This offer from God, be ye reconciled, is in effect as long as the dispensation of grace continues. So you as an ambassador, when you go to that lost person and say, hey, Christ died for your sins, be ye reconciled to God, maybe they reject it today, well, the offer's still good. Maybe they reject it tomorrow, the offer's still good. Maybe they reject it for a week, the offer's still good. Maybe they reject it for 10 years, the offer's still good. The offer from God is good until this dispensation of grace ends, and of course it will end with the calling home of the body, with the calling home of the ambassadors. Okay? So that's completely different than if you and I have a problem with another human being and we want to go and reconcile with them. If you and I have a problem with another human being, and if we really and truly have made up our mind that, you know what, the problem's over, it's done, well, if that's true, then regardless of whether or not the person accepts the offer is still good, because their response to the offer is not what made you make your mind up that the hostilities are over. If the hostilities are truly over in your mind, then the offer is legitimate forever, period. But on the other hand, if you make the offer and they respond negatively, and then you pull the offer off the table, well then really and truly the offer wasn't legitimate, because it was conditional on their acceptance. And that's not what this is all about here, okay? So that was two different concepts there, okay? Okay. Okay, well, excellent, folks. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, and we appreciate you taking the time to spend in the Word of God together. Remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Thanks, have a good day, and join us tonight for our next study.